The Food and Drug Administration is meeting later this month to consider emergency use authorization for Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children 5 to 11 years old. The FDA is also looking at the issue of booster shots for the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines, when they might be needed, and if mixing and matching brands would be effective. This all comes as new case numbers are trending down somewhat nationwide, but ticking up here in Wisconsin, in part because of the more contagious Delta variant. We're catching up now on the latest news with an epidemiology professor, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the need for COVID-19 booster shots for some people, third shots for some people? Not exactly the same thing, as I understand it. Have you had or scheduled a booster shot yourself? Are you wondering about kids and what the Delta variant has meant for younger people? If the vaccine is approved for children aged 5 to 11, do you have kids you would consider getting vaccinated, rush to get vaccinated? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Amanda Simonek is an associate professor of epidemiology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Zilber School of Public Health and a founding member of Dear Pandemic, a website and social media campaign where you can find info on COVID-19. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, as I mentioned, we're seeing nationwide numbers going down after peaking. Still not great, but going in the downward direction. Inching up here, it seems like, in Wisconsin. What kind of things are you watching?
Yeah, I mean, since about 4th of July, we've had a steady increase in cases. The 7-day average is hovering around 2,500 to 2,600 new cases per day, and about 15 deaths per day. And that's about where we were at this time last year. But this time last year, there were no vaccines. And kids weren't in school. And so I think I'm watching as we head into fall whether we're going to continue to see an increase in cases. And I, of course, encourage people to go get vaccinated against COVID-19 so that we don't continue to have cases and hospitalizations happening here.
Right. And we're going to get into booster shots and things like that in a bit. It still seems like the key difference is not vaccinated at all versus being vaccinated to the normal full extent. Right. That's one of our key ways
Absolutely.
To prevent this.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services reports that in the last month, the age-adjusted rate of COVID cases is 4 times higher, hospitalizations 9 times higher, and COVID deaths 11 times higher among those that are unvaccinated versus those that are fully vaccinated. So no question, your best bet is still to get vaccinated.
Now let's start talking boosters. First of all, the Pfizer vaccine approved for a booster shot for some people. Can you remind us who and when can get that booster shot?
Absolutely. So there's been two things. So back in August, there was a third dose that was approved for mRNA vaccine. So both the Pfizer and Moderna, this was authorized for immune compromised people back in August. And this is a third dose. And this is in contrast to what we consider a booster, because a third dose in this population is really necessary to even mount that initial immune response that we want to see that can protect people from SARS-CoV-2. And so that's for people who maybe are undergoing cancer treatment or have recently had an organ transplant. And so anybody in that category can get a third dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. More recently, Pfizer received approval from the FDA for certain subgroups of the population to get what we call a booster dose. And this is more designed that if people are experiencing waning immunity, this will kind of give them that little bolus of increase in antibody levels and hopefully prolong, their protection against COVID-19. So the groups that were approved for a booster of the Pfizer vaccine, this is if it's been at least 6 months since your second dose. It's recommended that you should get this booster if you're 65 or older and are living in a long-term care setting, or if you're 50 to 64 and you have certain medical conditions. And so the Wisconsin Department of Health Services has a long list, and if you go to their website or you go to their Facebook page, you can get the full list. But some of those conditions are cancer, kidney disease, diabetes, Down syndrome. So there's a long list. And then the recommendation is that those that may get a booster are those that are 18 to 49 with those similar conditions, or people that are 18 to 64 years old that are at increased risk of getting exposed to COVID or transmitting COVID. So such as people who are first responders, educators, food and agricultural workers, teachers, you know, postal service workers, grocery store workers. So basically anyone who might be at higher risk of getting exposed to COVID-19. So for that first group that are 65 and older, or are 18 and older, living in long-term care, or have 50 to 64 and have certain medical conditions, the concern there is that if those individuals do experience waned immunity post, you know, 6 to 8 months from getting their second dose, that they're at increased risk of complications from COVID-19. And so we want to make sure that those individuals are protected. And the other group, it's a combination sort of those that are younger but have certain medical conditions, or those that are just likely to be exposed and or to expose others that are at high risk of COVID-19. And so it's sort of a dual purpose recommendation there.
So that's Pfizer. Is this in the works for Moderna and or Johnson & Johnson?
Yes. So the FDA is going to meet on October 14th and 15th to discuss the same thing, booster doses of the same formulation of the original vaccine for both Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. So we hopefully have, you know, more information and or approval and answers for people who are recipients of those vaccines, whether they need to also get are recommended to get a booster soon.
Talking to Amanda Simonek, UW-Milwaukee epidemiologist and founding member of Dear Pandemic, looking at some of the latest COVID-19 and vaccine news. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Samantha is with us in Whitehall. Samantha, hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I got two questions. I was wondering, what about, like, I got a niece that's four. She's started 4K and a, well, anyway, 4K, and what about that group? You know, I know you said 5 to 11 or whatever, they're working on it, but what about the four-year-olds? Plus, also, how do we get people that are vaccine hesitant or anti-vaxxers at all to get this, to get them? Because I knew a guy that had, that was no mask, no vaccine, didn't want to get it. He got those sickness. And he died, and that's what he died from. No other underlying issues. And he, you know, and it cost him his life. So how do we get those kind of people to get their vaccines in the first place?
Samantha, wow, a lot to go after there. Amanda, first of all, vaccines for kids. Before we get to four, let's talk 5 to 11.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So on October 26th, the FDA is also going to review trial data from Pfizer for the vaccine that's been tested in kids who are ages 5 to 11. So this was a trial that was conducted among about little over 2,000 kids. And the focus here was to really identify the optimal dose that would generate the same type of immune response that we saw in adults. And what they've landed on is probably a 10 microgram dose, which is about a third of the dose given to those that are 12 and older who received the Pfizer vaccine. The FDA is going to review this data and make sure, check all the bells and whistles for safety and that the side effects are tolerable and, you know, that is all looking good so far. So hopefully FDA will approve that. I just heard that then about a week later is when the CDC Advisory Council on Immunization Practices will meet November 2nd and 3rd. And so there might be about a week after the FDA meeting where ACIP will meet and they'll discuss it. And what they do is sort of put their stamp of approval on it. And then states will open up their age eligibility. So it could happen, you know, within maybe a week or so of that FDA meeting, which is great news.
So that could be soon for 5 to 11. Yeah. How about Samantha's 4-year-old niece? I imagine that would be longer in coming.
There's also, you know, Pfizer as well as other companies are already conducting trials in kids who are 6 months to 4 years. So we anticipate that data will become available later this year. And then potentially the FDA would review it and meet about that early next year. So unfortunately, those kids have a little bit of time to wait. But again, it's, you know, we want this process to play out because we want the right dosage for kids whose immune systems are more robust and sort of make a stronger response to the vaccine. We want them to get the right dosage that maximizes the safety for them and generates the immune response needed to protect them.
Samantha, thanks for the call. We're talking to Amanda Simonek, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee and founding member of the website Dear Pandemic, looking at the latest news on COVID-19 vaccines. Still time for your questions at 800-642-1234 about vaccines for kids, booster shots, third shots, you name it, 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Amanda Simonek, professor of epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee, about COVID-19 vaccines, booster shots, and where we stand during the pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions. That's 800-642-1234. We had a caller who couldn't stay on the line, Amanda, named Daryl, who wondered about the side effects of vaccines. He's hearing and seeing some things on TV that are making him worried. What would you say about side effects of the vaccines?
Yeah, I mean, side effects can vary, right? So typical side effects might be some redness or pain at the site of the injection in your arm. It may be headache, fever. Kind of this is means your immune system is working. It's reacting to the vaccine and it's doing, you know, its part to sort of build those antibodies and build up the protection against the virus should you encounter it. It ranges, right? So some people don't have any side effects. That doesn't mean the vaccine's not working. Other people may, you know, not feel great for a few days. What we've heard about the booster is that the side effects from receiving the booster seem to be similar to what is experienced after the second dose. Certainly, you know, these are temporary side effects and are still sort of a worthwhile trade-off compared to getting COVID-19.
We heard earlier from our caller, Samantha, who's concerned about how we get more people to get vaccinated. And it seems from what I've heard, Amanda, there are a lot of different reasons. Some people are anti-vaccine. Some people are hesitant. Some people want to get it, but it's not accessible for them for one reason or another in their lives. What are your thoughts on what needs to happen to boost our vaccination rates?
I mean, I encourage people who themselves have been vaccinated to have, friendly, congenial conversations with others that are still wondering, still have questions. It's okay to have questions about these vaccines. We at Dear Pandemic, the team of female PhD-trained scientists, epidemiologists, nurses, health policy experts, we've been answering questions. I think now we're probably close to 400 posts about vaccines. So if you go to our dearpandemic.org website, you can search by keyword. You can search just all of the things we posted on vaccines. What we do is at that website, you can submit your questions and we take anybody's questions and answer them. I just really encourage people to keep seeking information, to find someone they trust, whether that's their medical provider or our team at Dear Pandemic, and keep asking those questions, because I think if you can feel confident, you can feel like it's a safe vaccine, then you'll go for it.
Let's go back to our callers now. Rachel is with us in Racine. Rachel, hi.
Hi, I wanted to ask for your input. I'm a healthcare worker, frontline worker, currently pregnant, 8 months pregnant. Curious about your input if I should get my booster now. Is they're recommending that healthcare workers get their boosters? As I had my original vaccine in December and then my secondary dose in January, or if I should just wait the month and then get the booster after the baby's born. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, pregnancy is one of the conditions that is listed for why you should get a booster. And one advantage of getting that booster now while you're still 8 months pregnant is that the antibodies that you produce can be passed to your baby across the placenta. And so any additional protection that your baby will have either that way or if you intend to breastfeed, you could pass your antibodies against COVID-19 to your baby that way. That protection for your baby who won't be eligible to get vaccinated for some time is a great advantage to doing it now.
Thanks a lot for that call. I wanted to talk about testing, Amanda, for COVID. Just had one myself. Negative, happy to say. Department of Health Services relaunching its community testing support program. Are we doing enough testing? Do we have enough quick, easy, and available testing for people to know if they have COVID and know for sure they need to stay away from people?
Well, you know, I think more testing is great. If we can have access to fast, rapid tests, you know, ideally every household would have a set of these tests at a low cost so that you could test more frequently. And, you know, these tests are useful if you do them frequently because they sort of can pick up when you start to be infectious. And so adding that as a layer, whether that's, you know, for kids that aren't vaccinated yet or, you know, when you're coming back from travel or going to visit grandparents, I'm in favor of adding that as one more step that you take to try to pick up on any infection before you kind of realize that you are symptomatic.
Time for one more caller. Nick is with us in La Crescent, Minnesota. Nick, hi.
Hi. My question is, in regards to the safety of the vaccines and hesitant or vaccine hesitant people, if they're so safe, why have the vaccine manufacturers and the FDA and the government employers not put legal standing behind it? The manufacturers are exempt from any legal qualifications from issues or death that arise from it. The FDA is written off on that too, other than their $50,000 cap if it's long-term. With more booster shots coming out and the continuation of maybe taking 3 or 4 shots a year, with the safety being so apparent, why is nobody standing up and saying that they'll be accountable if there are issues?
Nick, thanks. Amanda, thoughts on liability on vaccines?
Well, I don't think we're at a point where we're going to be taking 3 or 4 booster shots a year. So I'd like to correct that. I can't really speak to the legal ramifications around these decisions, so I'm not going to comment on it. Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts overall on safety, Amanda, from all the vaccines that have been given so far?
Yeah, I mean, literally millions of people have now received these vaccines, and the safety profile has been great. You know, the risk of COVID-19 far more dangerous than any side effects of these vaccines. You know, what we know is that if there are going to be any side effects, they usually emerge within days to weeks. So it's not something that creeps up, you know, months and years later. And we're already well past that point and have a good sense of the safety of these vaccines.
It's a good place to leave it. Amanda, thanks again for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
That's Amanda Simonek, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee and a founding member of the website Dear Pandemic. She talked with us about the latest news on COVID-19 booster shots and the possible approval of Pfizer's vaccine for younger kids that could come later this month.